You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. And I hope you're going to have a good day. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and you know it has to be done, and you know it must get done, then you're going to do it. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is, and that's why we appreciate you. And of course, you do it safely. You wear your mask. Sometimes now you're wearing a double mask because it's just that deep. You're keeping your distance. You're keeping your hands clean. You want to make sure that you hear. You want to make sure that you ride this whole damn thing out. Come out on the other side. Yeah. So we can continue to live. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, once again, not to be redundant, but hey, just to keep it out there. African Perspectives, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and all times are going to give our Eastern times. 6 p.m. on Monday, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with host Brother Jihad Ahmed, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from In Cobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. I missed the program last night. Man, I'm upset with myself. I missed the program. I wanted to hear the program that he had last night. It was going to be a good one. Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturdays, 4 p.m. to 6, Sister Talk with host Lawanda Chambers. And then at 7, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. 9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. We buy black. The largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Taihemba. Brothers and sisters, Africa for the Africans. You give Brother Bamani a call at 404-931-9429. He has 3 trips upcoming. And so if you want to take advantage of these 3 trips that are upcoming, he has a trip going to Senegal and Gambia, April 2nd through the 12th. Then a trip May 24th to June 4th to Ghana. And then November 18th through the 29th, Tanzania. All 3 trips are $3,700 per person, $400 down deposit. And could pay on it, you know, every other week or monthly.
you know, depending upon your financial arrangements. But listen, if you want to see photos of previous tours, and he's taken over 400 of our people, then go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani 2007. Africa for the Africans. And on the website, africanfortheafricans.org, everything you need to make that trip a reality. The paperwork, all the information. All right? All right. Baba Renoka Rashidi, Dr. Rashidi, his trip has been detained. And so, of course, he did a program last weekend, the same time we had our ASCAC program. And Dr. Renoko is doing a lot of webinars and so forth. He has one coming up this weekend. And at 11 a.m. It's a Zoom. And you got to go to Eventbrite. Go to Eventbrite to register. You know, events to register. And it's $20. No, you got to go to appealincorporated.org, appealincorporated.org to register for this great African historians. And then the one he has with Bayina Bello, that's the one you got to go to Eventbrite. And that is next Friday, February 12th, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. An evening with Baba Renoko and Dr. Bayina Bello. That's going to be outstanding. That's next week. Go to Eventbrite. That's next week, Friday. And he has one once again Saturday, Black Historians. You go to appealincorporated.org, events to register, put in that information. All right? All right, Baba Renoko. Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha Incorporated.org. They are doing the work. They're doing the work here with their various programs. You know, Habesha is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, and holistic health and technology. You know, the Habesha Works program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, the Golden Growers and the Urban Green Jobs, all these good things. And, of course, the Kashi Project in Ghana. The buildings are up and they still could need some help. So, brother, go to the Kashi. Go to Habesha. Habesha stands for Helping Africans Establish Schools at Home and Abroad. LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE Group. Go to ledgegroup.com. They're dealing with the four things that we as human beings need: food, water, clothing, and shelter in Africa. They're in 12 projects at 6 different countries and employing over 172 people and 260 members, and they need more members, no doubt. Become a member of the Ledge Group. LedgeGroup.com. The Wadada's Healthy Marketing and Juice Bar here in Atlanta in the West End area. That's right. In the West End, located on Ralph David Abernathy, across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, is Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia is moved. She's in now where she has her bookstore right in the main thoroughfare there. It was by the food court, and I'm quite sure it's going to be dynamic. It's a lot bigger, so I'll be checking her out and letting you know. But if you want to give her a call at 404-346-3263, that's 404-346-3263, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, Brother Gazemde Ajamu, my good friend, give him a call. Both of these places, if they don't have the book that you're looking for, they will get it. Believe me, they will get it. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, the number is 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, Family-Centered Economics. We're going to have our convention next month. online, Us Lifting Us, give you good details, and maybe you get a couple people on the phone, get Baba Kima on the phone, you know. Yeah, going to have our bookstore up and running. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That's Blog Talk Radio /ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. Us Lifting Us. If you want to call to listen, you can do that. Or if you want to call to give a question, comment, or concern, you can definitely do that as well at this number, 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us at 9 p.m. on Thursday nights Eastern Time. Sanjay Dash Aiti. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, who's doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, gives Sister, go online, check it out at Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Ackerman Institute, and very proud and happy of the Barutis there. Got their program this weekend. We're going to talk about right now. And the Ackerman Institute is an educational institution that are training our young warriors, and they deserve to be supported. If you want to, you can use Cash App and PayPal to make your donations. On Cash App, the $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, to make your donations. And their program. Also, too, if you want books, go to AckermanHouse.com. AckermanHouse.com. Baba Baruti's a very prolific writer. He's pumping them out all the time. And the program is this Saturday, noon, from noon, 3 p.m., the donation is $1 for warriors, $20 for warriors in training, and $20 for the warrior men, $20 for the warrior men and $10 for warriors in training for our young men. To include this information, quarterly men's gathering, your name, and your email address so they can send you the streaming information. Okay. Please register by the following. Make your donations to, and then put the pertinent information in. And that's going to be this Saturday from noon to 3 p.m. And the name of this program is Developing an Effective Rites of Passage Program. And then Mama Yah, her program is follows. And it is at from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. There's a dollar. The hour break in there. So from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on this Saturday, the name of the program or the topic, When a Woman Heals. And that's $10 for adults, $5 for teens. Once again, put the pertinent information of quarterly sister circle, your name, the email address where you want the stream sent to so you can be connected for this Saturday. On Friday, the 13th Annual Health Science Fair Exchange, the Youth Science Fair Exchange, the Age of Surveillance, the cameras are always on. Yes, they is. That is Friday at 1 p.m., from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, this Friday. This is the Zoom information, and it's hosted by the Metro Atlanta American African Independent School System. And put the Zoom information, so you go to Zoom, put this information in, the ID, 807-211-2759. That's 807-211-2759. And the passcode is PEARL, P-E-A-R-L, P-E-A-R-L, Pearl Academy. And if you need to talk to somebody, dial 404-344-2777. That's 404-344-2777. And that is this Friday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. I will definitely be listening. I mean, it's outstanding. I wish they didn't have COVID and you could go there to the West End Mall or to on Friday or the Greenbrier Mall on Saturday, because that's what they usually have done over the many years that I've known it, that they had the 2 days. And just great displays, children making great presentations and so forth. It's beautiful. It really is. So, oh, it's time for the Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. February 2nd. If only we could see through others' gimmicks and go above our limits. Ajahnay Kamban. Fear and apprehension keep us from doing what we know needs to be done. There are no real questions except possibilities of what may be the best means and targets. Common African sense gives warriors all the answers needed. The only thing keeping any warrior from fulfilling their mission is fear and apprehension formed through immobilizing questions or immobilizing or after immobilizing questions. The ancestor says, reasoning is the shackle of a coward. And he who is in the right shouldn't be scared. Both are fitting. Without all this misdirecting, wasteful, disarming reasoning, true warriors hold on. True warriors hold no concern for any consequences which may prevent constructive work. A fear of death is absent, that is, has the end of things. We are spirit and life, and death does not change this. Death is simply a transition to a higher state of being. We reverse aging, not only because of the wisdom that are naturally accompanies it, but also because, like infants who have just left the spirit world, elders who are approaching it are closer to it, thus becoming more psychologically integrated with it. Circularity is the basis of our thinking. Everything is secular. This aphorism is found in all of our original writings and untainted translations of African spirituality. Understanding this is the key to salvation and the courage to be the kind of warrior our people need to gain sovereignty. There is no fear when one cannot be murdered by destroyers. There is only the pursuit of righteousness, which is the sole determinant of one's spiritual elevation. Affirm, I fear. I am far above the limits others attempt to impose upon me. Affirm, I am far above the limits others attempt to impose upon me. February 3rd. Indeed, part of our deepest obligations to the past, as well as to the future, is to place our own definition on those long historical struggles of our people. Our ancestors did not wade through rivers of blood so that we might surrender the interpretations of their lives into the hands of others. Vincent Harding. Their collective job is to keep us oppressed, distracted, and pacified until we have completely forgotten who we are, what they are, and what they have done, and to continue to do to us. And there is a process to this pacification. First, you control the interpretations of history, making it into no more than a litany of indispensable violence, war, and conquest, trying unnecessary evil into this horrendous, self-serving, positive, parochial lie, which perfectly fits your unique warmongering personality. Next, universalize your story, pushing it into our youngest minds as everyone's one and only truth. Then you make what you have done to African people appear to be nothing more than a minor, common, normative act within this now Euroversalized, interceding historical human process. This, in turn, makes it extremely difficult for those of us who are not crystal clear that we are African to see or define you as an enemy. In fact, through this deeply miseducational Euroversalizing process,
Our Negroes and lost souls even mentalitically come to believe that your dominance of us is an act of great concern and benevolence. They have come to defensively misinterpret your psychopathology, racist, self-serving, inhuman action against us as you simply working the kinds of out of an evolutionary stage which opened up the way to modern civilization. Affirm, my interpretations of our story, his story, and reality are our own. Affirm, my interpretations of our story, his story, and reality are our own. We define. That's what I keep saying about power. People talk about power. You got to have power. What is power? Power is the ability to define reality and then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. That's what power is. Power is the ability to define reality, then have someone else accept your definition as if it's their own. Europeans define reality, and they imposed it, the Europeans' culture, on everybody. And they said, this is the reality. And we have accepted their reality as if it's our own. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, who are we in Europeans' reality? First, we were the soulless people with no culture to speak of, running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, waiting for Europeans to civilize us. And of course, nothing is furthest from the truth. Justifying our captivity. Who are we in their reality today? Thugs, drug addicts, no fit fathers, no fit mothers, criminals, the face of criminality, filling up their prisons, creating the prison industrial complex, private prisons for profit. Who are we in their reality? That's why I keep saying we need to shape and fashion reality in our image and in our interest for our benefit. Damn them. Quit begging them to create a reality that their reality that puts us in it and puts us in it equally. It'll never happen. Well, my guest is here. That's right, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black Matrix. He hasn't been on in a while. Brother Franklin Jones, good morning.
Good morning, my dear brother. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How have you been?
Fantastic, fantastic. And you're dead on right now with Sam. I love this conversation because other programs don't talk like what you talk about. And you're right. The fact is that the white society, they write our narratives. And whenever they write these narratives, then our narratives are always marginalized. They marginalize us while false exalting themselves. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah.
We have to write our own narratives, and that's the problem we face today. I am fantastic. As you know, I wrote a new book. I have a new website.
That's right.
I've been doing programs on...
What's the new website?
It's the same name, the Black Matrix, www, the Black Peoples with an S now.
Oh, okay.
The Black Peoples Matrix.
Oh, does it have, I know on your book, the cover, it has apostrophe. So does it have...
No
apostrophe?
There's no apostrophe on a web address.
Okay.
I can put... So it's called the blackpeoplesmatrix.com. There's lots more information there. As you know, I also have a new book that I've been putting out. I've been doing programs also on podcasts in South Africa and the UK.
Outstanding.
So things are moving fantastic. And people... Our people are finally starting to focus on the psychological aspect of our our state, how mm-hmm. we are being controlled and manipulated by the narratives. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, many people don't understand how powerful narratives are because people function based upon narratives. Like, for example, the Christian religion, for example, there are billions of Christians around the world. There are millions of Christian churches in America. But if you research the history, you will learn that Jesus never existed. So you see, the power lies in the narrative that people believe rather than reality. So because we know Jesus never existed. So we see that narratives are powerful, and that's why we must recognize and stop allowing the white society to tell us who we are. It goes back to the story of the lion. As long as the hunt is told, the story of the hunt against the lion is taught by the white hunter, the story will always glorify the white hunter. And that we're under that system, you know?
Yeah, and it's unrelenting, and it's consistent, and it's constant. And to me, it gets deeper because of the technology.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, as you know, because you were in the service, and you were dealt with propaganda, you know. And the way they instituted propaganda was to, you know, to beat you to death every day with it, you know, with the words, paper, what you read, just impacting you and impounding you with it. Yeah. Well, today it's so slick because of the technology with imagery and sound and scent and all of that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's hard for many people to detect what is being done to them. In fact, they make it such that they'll argue nothing's being done to me. My mind is right. You know, I'm crystal clear.
But however, throughout history, the perception and beliefs held by the oppressed are never truly theirs, never truly their own. They're always falsehoods that are beneficial to the oppressors that has been indoctrinated into the minds of the oppressed without the oppressed realizing it. Most of us don't recognize the social science behind maintaining dominance. There is a social science that's required to oppress the people for a long time, and there's a social science that's required to maintain dominance. And there are social scientists who, because we are the oppressed, we don't have access to the information for the most part. Most of us have never heard of social engineering or that. Throughout history, the oppressed must be socialized.
Mm-hmm.
Socialized is when a subordinate or oppressed population has been conditioned to think and behave in ways that are beneficial to the white society. Like, for example, millions of black people would say to you, I'm not oppressed. My only problem I have is other black people. My problem is black people. And many black people, we're now telling our children, you need to act more like white kids. Why can't act more like white kids?
Mm-hmm.
Many of us believe that we are our own worst enemies, and we revere whites. But here's the deal. It is never coincidental whenever the oppressed thinks exactly as the oppressors wants them to.
Mm-hmm.
These thoughts have been ingrained into our minds without us realizing it. It has been ingrained into our minds, as you heard it before, but there are three ways to manipulate the human mind by what we're taught, what we see, what we hear. Because the white society controls the education we're taught, the media images we see, and the societal narratives we hear. This allows them to shape our minds in ways that benefit themselves. Like, for example, millions of black people will tell you most slaves were sold off. Most slaves were sold off. And they don't recognize that we're in a system where the narratives that we receive, the information we read, has been designed to benefit all oppressors. And so when those of us who do not critically think are the ones who remain mentally enslaved, never seeing their mental change. When you look at slavery, you have to recognize that we outnumber white people. This is a fact. Globally, we outnumber white people. So when you are a smaller group oppressing a greater number of people, you have to use psychological warfare. You have to manipulate their minds. Because whenever the oppressed are left to their own vices, thinking for themselves, this always results in massive retribution and rebellion. This is a part of the human psyche when people are kept under oppression. So you have to keep the people. When people are oppressed for long, as you know, the collective aggression swells, and eventually you always respond with rebellion. But the white man protects his interests by continually bombarding us with propaganda. Like, I saw this lady yesterday. She did this posting on Facebook, and she was upset because many of the Africans that she was communicating with were sending messages saying that you African-Americans are lazy. If we was in America, we'd be doing so much better. These a Nigerian told her, if we came to America, we would do much better because you African Americans are lazy. You are lazy. But the fact what they're not realizing is the interpretation of the Africans are seen of African Americans is being seen through a media lens controlled by the white society. So the white society controls how Africans see African Americans, and it's negative. And they also control how African Americans see Native Africans, and it's negative. As Brother Fully Steeler said, I said, until we overcome the monopoly the white man has over our minds, our liberation is not only difficult to achieve, it's damn right impossible. Black liberation must recognize that there are white oppressive forces who are continuously manipulating our minds. Any negative thought that you have towards your people, you have to recognize where it's being influenced, where it's coming from. Their goal is to keep us demoralized, divided, and self-loathing, because it makes it easier to control.
See, we don't ask ourselves those questions because we've been trained not to question. And then if I give you a religion that trains you not to question, to just have faith, you know, and belief.
See? Exactly. Religion is one of the greatest tools they've been using against black people from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They need black people to defend the religion. But we know that as a fact that when the early white Christians were converting Africans into their faith, it had absolutely nothing to do with saving their souls. And we know this because the early white Christians believed that Africans weren't humans, that Africans had no souls, and they believed that heaven was for whites only. In fact, the early Christians believed that the thought of an African going to heaven was as blasphemously ridiculous as a dog doing so. This is a fact. Fact. So when they converted them, it had nothing to do with saving the souls of Africans so that Africans may join them in heaven because they believed heaven was only for whites.
Mm-hmm.
The true reason was to indoctrinate the belief of a white God into the psyche of the African. The African was taught to put no one ahead of God, not his children, not his wife, not your husband. God is the highest, and they're taught that God is white.
Mm-hmm.
This creates an admiration, a profound admiration towards whiteness that then psychologically transfers towards white people. It made these slaves more subservient towards black people, towards the white people. And to simply put it, the Christian religion was the first propaganda literature used to socialize the minds of Africans. Socialize Africans to think and behave in ways that are benefit to the oppressors. You know, just science, because, you know, everything's a science, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Our people need to learn the science of long-term oppression. Our people need to learn the science of maintaining white dominance. And they have to understand that there are propaganda that's embedded and in the news reports we receive, even in the movies we watch when we think we're being entertained, like, for example, the groundbreaking movie The Black Panther. We loved it because we saw for the first time Africans been shown in a positive, empowering light on the screen. But there was an ideology in there, as you saw, mm-hmm. that was benefiting white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And the ideology, the Killmonger character, who was in tune with the black oppression and refreeing our people, mm-hmm. was the villain.
Right.
He was the villain.
And because of that, even Chadwick Boseman said, you know, prior to his transition, that really T'Challa was the real enemy.
T'Challa was the real
enemy of people because, you know, just as you stated, Killmonger wanted this cracker off of us.
Yes, he wanted him off.
See? And T'Challa, you know, was placating to that and thinking he was the enemy, you know?
Yeah.
And even later in the movie, he's now willing to share with Caucasians the mineral wealth.
The ending.
Yeah.
Yes. It was an ideology that benefits white supremacy. And there was another scene that was really profound. When Killmonger had sent those ships out and people to take weapons to black people globally, remember the scene where the ship was leaving? And then there was a white CIA agent trying to shoot it down.
Mm-hmm.
when the white CIA agent shot down that aircraft that was heading to go take weapons to black people,
mm-hmm.
when he shot it down, I was in an audience, and all the audience of black people started applauding for him. Didn't even recognize that they were applauding against their own self-interest.
Yeah.
They applauded CIA white agent who shot down a ship taking weapons to black people.
I have a caller. We have a call in line. I want to get this caller. Baba Kambon. Baba Kambon?
Y'all are breaking up a little bit. You're off in and out.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, thank you. I don't know what I can do about that. I can only say that we just need to maybe speak clear and closer into the microphone. I appreciate that, Baba. Thank you. He said our transmission is breaking up.
How are you hearing me, my brother? How are you hearing me?
I'm hearing you pretty good, so I'm not sure. So I'm hearing you pretty good.
Okay. There's one more thing I want to say about the Killmonger character. Killmonger was about black liberation. And they also had Killmonger kill a black woman. Now, once they had the brother kill a black woman in the movie, this also vilified him and also made his ideology appear to be inherently evil. That's how they, so when you're watching a movie, here's people understand, movies throughout history has been used for much more than entertaining. This is why since the 1950s, the U.S. government, the Pentagon, has put billions into movies, because the movie systems are able to influence and to download values into our society. And when you're watching a movie, right, it's not like when you're in an argument or a debate where your mind is saying, I agree with this or I disagree with that, as you would in a conversation. When you're in watching movies, your mind is in an alpha state. You're just sitting back receiving information. This allows movie controllers to indoctrinate thoughts into your mind without you realizing it. Like, for example, there was a movie called Blood Diamonds, came out many years ago. Now, in the scene of Blood Diamonds, there's an African actor, can't recall his name right now. He looks into the screen and he says, I must admit, we were better when the white man was controlling us. He looks at the screen and he says that. A lengthy monologue said how life was better when the white man was controlling us. And in the movie, the Blood Diamonds, the villains were the Africans. It never demonstrated, and I'll tell you why the movie came out and how the movie worked for the benefit of the white society. Back then, there was the concern about blood diamonds. Black people died as a result of the blood diamonds. So people started boycotting the certain diamond for a certain region. So those prices started to plummet. You know? So then when they made the movie Blood Diamond, everything restored, because here's what the movie did. The movie directed the collective frustrations of everyone and the concern about the blood diamond against Africans. It showed those Africans killing Africans. And at the end of the movie, they showed an African man going before a committee of white people to tell them what's happening, mm-hmm. and the movie goes on. But the reality is the conditions that create the blood diamond is a white source. It's completely white men. But in the movie, they created the black man and had a black man being the villain. So often, just like we have the Harriet Tubman movie that came out a while back, and in the movie, the greatest villain in the movie was a black man running to kill Harriet Tubman.
A black bounty hunter.
It was bounty hunter. They made a black man the bounty hunter. Mm-hmm. This, you know, these are all about design. So we're always being taught to believe that it is we who are our worst enemies.
That's why I'm so adamantly opposed to that statement, that saying. In fact, when I hear it and hear someone say it, I'm more inclined sometimes to correct, so to speak, with respect, especially if it's an elder. But I'd say, hey, we're not a, see, to number one, you have to define what an enemy is. And then you're saying we're worse than an enemy.
Yeah.
Our own worst enemy, that we're above all anything, we're the worst to ourselves.
Yeah.
Damn the people who put us in this mental state. Damn the people who put us in this this environment, you know, and what we see and what we hear and what we just. No, our worst is us. We are the worst.
Another example is Django. Many people who watched Django said the person they hated most, the evil person, the villain was
Samuel Jackson.
Yes, Samuel Jackson. Mm-hmm. He was, I'm going to say it, he was a terrible character. But his mental state was created by the whites. His, when you see a character like that, he was beaten. He was made to that character. Your worst enemy is still the white man.
Right. Always will be.
Yes. And there's an analogy I use. And I use, I say, let's say you have five children and they're playing in your backyard. You have a fence, a wide fence around the backyard. And your children go to this fence and there's a man on the other side of the fence giving your children candy every day. Now your children always having rotten teeth. Your children, you always have cavities. And you keep yelling at your children, but you don't acknowledge the man who gives them candy. You're not doing anything. You have to walk to that fence and you have to confront it. You have to stop the person who is putting it in. I'm not saying you're absolving your children from the cavity, but you have to confront the source of what's being done. But we have been conditioned to never look at the white oppressors today. In fact, all of the prevailing ideologies that are held by many black people are ideologies that are designed to keep us from looking at our oppressors today. For example, the Willie Lynch story. Willie Lynch had us thinking that our enemy is a fictitious ghost from the past who has programmed us to hate each other. This, what this does is we believe that the person who programmed our mind is long dead and gone. So our collective aggression is directed towards ourselves. It's towards ourselves. But the reality is the programming of our mind is a continued system that's being maintained by the current white society. Because you cannot brainwash someone 400 years ago, and it maintains that true brainwashing requires a system that must be reapplied.
It is ongoing.
The system will weaken with each new generation, not get worse.
Right.
The fact that we are worse today than the 1960s, and I can prove this by just saying this. In the 1960s, we referred to ourselves as brothers and sisters, and we called the white man cracker. Today, we call each other niggas and bitches and call the white man white people. We've been programmed to against our own self-interest. Also, in the 1930s, African Americans revered Africa. When Ethiopia was in war against Italy, thousands of African Americans signed up to go to Africa, Ethiopia, and say, I am going to fight for Africa, Mother Africa. Some made it through, but the U.S. government stopped many others. Okay? In the 1960s, African Americans will also develop a pro-African stance. When they were giving some African names, where would I seek you? It was determined that the allegiance that African Americans had for Africa must be removed. It was determined that they could change us from calling us brothers and sisters to call us niggas and bitches. So now today, many African Americans get angry with calling African. They have a disdainment for Africa.
That's interesting. That's interesting because when I was coming up, we didn't want to be called African, at least in a general sense. But we already had gone through Marcus Garvey, and there was a number of us who had that kind of pride. That's what led to the 60s, you know. But still, we wanted to be called colored. I ain't black. They wanted to be called black. I'm colored, you know. And then, of course, the late 50s into the 60s, that all changed. In fact, around 65, 67, 8, it's black power, you know. Even when one's called us, don't call me no Negro. I'm black. Now I'm black, and it's black power. And, of course, that has been changed again, you know, because now we don't want to be called.
Back in the 60s, you said the 60s, your kids' deal. There's a significant change in the African-American culture since 1968, 69. It's a significant, we started to shift. The 1968 Kearney Commission, remember when Lyndon Johnson ordered a commission to study the African-American community to find out the cause for the unprecedented black protests? They determined, there were many factors, they determined one significant factor was an elevated collective black self-esteem brought on by the emergence of the Black Pride movement. This logically required that that they could prevent unified black retribution by lowering the collective self-esteem of black people. And it was determined that they can do this by keeping black people believing the fraudulent worst about ourselves. This is why today we are so bombarded with negative information, because it keeps us demoralized, divided, self-loathing, which makes it easy to control. They also determined that they had to turn it away from Africa. The reason why we're always seeing negative propaganda of Africa is to erode our unifying African linkage to Africa. So now we prefer to call ourselves niggers. And the reason why these social engineers call ourselves niggers versus brothers, because words have power over the psychological mind. We treat people based upon what we call them, and we act based upon the words we self-identify ourselves
with. Right, and see, that's why for me, I've always advocated that that we should really examine words, and because number one, it's not our language. This is a bastardized language. And so sometimes words have multiple meanings, you know, and deeper meanings, you know, than what sometimes the word conveys, because it's not ours. And so therefore we need to choose words appropriate. That's why I'm adamant about not calling ourselves slaves, because we were not slaves.
Yes.
You know,
that's true.
You know, but yet, you know, when you say that word, what is the image that you see? What did you conjure up? I mean, I used to, when I worked with kids in school, I used to do a thing with them. I used to tell them to close their eyes, and I would give them a set of words, and I would ask for them to honestly put a face on those words. And I would say, close your eyes. And I would say, welfare, drug addict, drug dealer, no fit father, no fit mother, nigger. You know, and to be honest, whose face did you put on those words? You know,
black people.
Exactly.
You're right.
Us. You know, because you've been conditioned. And that's why, to me, you know, you need to look at words and just say, no, let's get that one out. Especially especially when you're describing our people, you know.
Yes. You are dead on, they said words can't spell, okay? This is, for example, even when we call ourselves minorities, the root word minority is minor.
It's minor.
So whenever we say minorities, we are marginalizing ourselves. That's how they program words. And when we say white supremacy, we're saying white supreme.
Yeah.
Yes, words have power. And this is also why whenever I say when I'm talking about Egypt, I always now say, even when I'm writing it, I say Africa's Egypt. Africa's Egypt. I understand commit is the name, but I don't, a lot of people don't know that.
Right.
But when I'm talking, for example, the power of words, and here's what I'm saying. When white people claim, when Europeans claim that the ancient Egyptians of Africa's ancient Egypt is European, that sounds ridiculous. So I'm always saying Africa's Egypt. Because, you know, there was a propaganda campaign back in the day that was used to separate Egypt from Africa. There was a propaganda campaign deliberately designed to
because Egypt is in the Middle East. It's in the Middle East.
Oh, yes.
And so that's still very prevalent. When I had the opportunity.
Yeah, many still believe it.
Yeah. Well, when I had the opportunity to go to Egypt some years ago, and one of the tour people who were from the Aswan area, which is south of, you know, Cairo, or upstream, because, you know, the Nile River, longest river in the world, 4,000 miles, flows from south to north. So, you know, when you would point, because usually north means up. But in this case, the river flows, you know, from south to north. But anyway, so I had a conversation with him, and he said, you know, I you're right. This is not ours. You know, but we've benefited tremendously economically and so forth. We promoted it. It's not ours.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Tourism, people come back, it's not. And here's a common sense people don't catch on. The Arabs who now occupy Egypt did not reach there until the 7th century. They're pulling up bodies they have in their museums, artifacts that are thousands of years older than the 7th century. They're showing you pharaohs who lived and died thousands of years before the 7th century. So it's not possible that that's their ancestors. Furthermore, in 2012-2013, DNA tests done on Pharaoh Ramsey Tutankhamun, Pharaoh Ramsey III, and Pharaoh Ramsey IV, and several other Egyptian mummies has scientifically confirmed that they were Africans.
Right.
But the deal is this. They're ignoring it. I met this white woman, and she told me she went to she had a friend who was a curator at a museum. And they had all these Egyptian artifacts. I think she was at Cairo, somewhere she was. And she said her friend who worked there took her in the back. And she said in the back they had all of the clearly black figures hidden away from the public. So she said she asked her friend, another white friend, why are you doing this? This is wrong. And she said that her friend said she's a traitor to her race for saying that. The white woman said you're a traitor to your race if you want me to put these black figures out there. You see, there is this deliberately campaign to distort the past to favor white people. And right. Everything they do is a social science. I try to get everybody to understand, talk social science. Here's why they're doing it. According to social science, they theorize that a people's future is based upon the past history they're taught to believe by themselves. Because people reference their future capabilities based upon their past achievements. So therefore, according to the theory, this is why they say those who control the past control the future. So they distorted the past to give themselves an exalting past that exalts their future. This is why they removed themselves from the Caucasus Mountain and they placed themselves upon the thrones of Egypt while saying that it's black people who don't have a past. So they understand what they're doing, and they're attacking us, but we don't understand the science. Within our schools in America, black people are taught that our history began with slavery in America and that in Africa we were uncivilized and ignorant. In white government schools in Africa, where the curriculum is controlled by whites, they're being taught that their history begins with colonizing, and before the white invaders became there, they were illiterate and ignorant. Now, these lies are designed to shape our minds. But we know these are lies because we know that Egypt is black, but also we know that Timbuktu has the oldest university in the world, the oldest library. There are 700,000 still remaining manuscripts. And we also know that the world's two mathematical tools, the two oldest, were found in Africa. Africa is the home of civilization. Africans taught the Greeks. But we're not being taught that. The reason why they teach us that we were ignorant and nothing before they had cameras, it makes us feel indebted to them. I thank the white man for enslaving my people and bringing me to the backwardness of Africa. We are.
We're going to take
around. Ways that benefits white society.
Brother Franklin Jones, hold that thought. We're going to come right back. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and open up these phone lines. And those who are on, remember, just hit star twice. Hit star twice and you can get in and ask your question or have a comment or concern to Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. The second edition is out, the Black People Matrix. And when we come back, we'll talk about how to get it and where to get it. And we'll continue this conversation. All right. We appreciate that. And brothers and sisters, once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
I'm ready!
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Monday, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jahad Ahmed. And then that's followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban. And that's followed at 9, from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., that's right, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays. And on Saturdays from 4 to 6, from 4 to 6 on Saturdays, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sundays from 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. And of course, if you want to get on this conversation, give that number a call. And if you're already on, hit star twice if you have a question or comment. Brother Franklin Jones.
Yes, my dear brother.
The Black People's, the Black People's Matrix.
As you know, my brother, I'm a bit one-dimensional in that I only want to talk about the oppressed monopoly over our minds. That's a focus with me because I believe that we must gain a clear and accurate understanding of our condition and plight. Because if our understandings are flawed, all remedies that stem from those misunderstandings will also be flawed. This is why so often when our people talk, they keep talking about symptoms rather than the cause. Because most of our people see the symptoms among our people. And we keep talking about the symptoms. But we must learn and get an understanding of how it's being done. Because when I was a drill sergeant, there was a thing I used to teach, and it says, a stance in the military was, understanding bring forth motivation. If our people understand what's being done to them, this bring forth information. Give an example. In America, around the world, we have Black people taking our children to school. We give them a kiss, make sure they have lunch money, and buy. Now, when they come back home, we look at their report cards. We make sure they're getting A's, that's only up to certain A's and B's, good grades. But we don't recognize the social science that our children are being miseducated to believe that they are inherently less and whites are inherently higher. Now, there are millions of people, probably billions of people, taking kids to school and just looking at A's because they do not understand that there's a social science within the educational curriculum. So our people have to understand social science. Like many of us ask the question, why are we learning more Black affirming information from each other than we do from within our schools? I'm sure you've asked that question, have you not?
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, millions have asked the question. Now, when we did, that's because our people are recognizing the symptoms, but they're not recognizing what's being done. The reason why it's being done, it's in order for a dominant society to maintain their social dominance over the oppressed. The education given to the oppressed must be the type that denies them a racially affirming curriculum. When the oppressed are denied a racially affirming curriculum and being only taught great things about the oppressors, this psychologically conditions them to adhere to the dominance of the dominant society. And it's psychologically conditioned to accept a subordinate status within the society. Within our schools, whites are being miseducated to believe that they are superior to Black people. This is why many white people have a hard time working for Black employers. They have been conditioned to believe that they're higher, while Blacks are being systematically conditioned to believe that we are inherently inferior. This is why when a Black person may talk to a white person, he may slip a little straighter. Has been indoctrinated into his mind. Now, my point is, if you know when you know better, you do better. And every day you see millions of people taking our kids to school, giving them rewarding from A's, but most of us do not know of the social science. And the reason why the social science is not known to the masses, because it doesn't benefit the oppressors to send this information to the oppressed. They want us to be born and die, never recognizing that our minds have been manipulated. And this programming against the black child, it starts in our schools. If you, I have some pictures I can send you. You have these little pre-K drawings. And in these drawings, they're saying all the positive words are being assigned to whites. All the negative words are being assigned to black drawings. For example, they have a happy, it's right the word happy, trace the word happy, as a white guy smiling. They say right the word sad, it's a black girl. The other one, they said a handsome boy, and the handsome is drawing of a white boy. Yeah. The ugly boy is a drawing of the right. Well,
you,
a black boy.
You know, that's the same thing that Kenneth Clark did back in the 50s.
Yes.
Proving that because we've been so impacted with this negative perception of ourselves and image of ourselves,
yes,
that black children were selecting white dolls over black dolls. Yes. And then a sister, she did it again about 30 some years later in the 1990s with the same results. Yes. And
same
I bet
result.
You, and if it's done today, it's even deeper with same results.
Yes.
You know, that's why I've been advocating that we must educate our children. We must.
Yes.
With a curriculum that is our own at the earliest age, we must lay a foundation to infuse them with knowledge of self. And I ain't talking about myths. I ain't talking about fairy tales. I ain't talking about lies. I'm talking about facts of history that is well documented and proven. And this is what our ancestors said. And I ain't talking about ancestors from the past. I'm talking about recent, like Asa Hilliard, you know, Francis Cress Weldon. All of them understood that the educational process must be in our hands, particularly at a young age, at the youngest age. Because we need to infuse these young people with the mindset of who they are historically. Give them the pride that they need. And I ain't talking about just you kings and queens. No, we're more than kings and queens. Can everybody be a king and queen? But we were a multiplicity of things. You know, we were carpenters. We were architects. We were masons. You name it, we did it. You know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing is that the foundation was laid by us. We're the first people on the planet. And the foundation was laid by us. People came from far and wide to sit at our feet to learn science and math and architecture and music and writing and law and religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks came and sat at our feet. Then they came back as conquerors. And not only did they do that, that's why the perception of Caucasians looking Kemetic or Egyptian is there in the world because of the Greeks. The Greeks stayed in Kemet for about 300 years before the Romans took over, you know? Yeah. And then later, of course, when the advent of Islam spread, when they came into Kemet, they had no respect for that. That's why they took the limestone coverings off the pyramids. That's why they took down a lot of temples to make mosques for themselves because they had no respect.
Yes.
It was a long loss. And not only that, to dominate it, you know, because the Nubians were still there. Those dark-skinned brothers and sisters are still there today. I visited a Nubian village when I went to Kemet.
But they also built a dam for a great part of Nubia. So a lot of Nubians have been lost
because
of that dam they built.
Right, the Aswan Dam, and to create Lake Nasser. In fact, they had to move. They had to move Abu Simbel. They had to move it from its original location, which was flooded, and you see them cutting it up. I have a little film clip of them cutting it up like a jigsaw puzzle to put it back to where you see it is today. Now, one could argue, wow, what a great engineering feat that is. But the reality is, when it was built, twice a year, that temple was built so that when the sun rose, it would penetrate all the way through that building to illuminate the Holy of Holies. How could we design that building to perfectly put that building where it is that it would do that? So to me, that is the engineering feat.
Yes.
To design that building to do exactly just that. We got some callers. Mm-hmm. And of course, callers, if you want to get in, Head Start twice or dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. 646-646. Good afternoon.
What's happening, O?
What's happening, Jay?
Is my ears betraying me?
No, man. That's right.
My man, Franklin Boogie Woogie Jones, the Matrix man, the truth teller, the wizard, all of the great things that Africa needs to move us forward. Brother Franklin, how are you, my brother? How are you?
I'm fantastic, my brother. I am fantastic. Thanks for asking. Nice to hear your voice again. Nice to get a bunch of friends. Fantastic.
Hey, man, it is amazing to hear your voice. But you know the thing is, Franklin, I could go months and weeks and years and not hear you, and then to hear you on the radio, and the message is straight ahead.
That's right.
It's consistent. It's the same. You don't go off course. You don't wiggle and waggle. You just stay going straight forward. And, brother, you got to appreciate it. You know what I mean? It's like that proverbial saying, a one-trick pony never changes his trick. He just tries to perfect it and make it better. And listen, man, the information that you're putting out there, Franklin, I must say, out of all of the times that I've heard you, it's been consistent. It hasn't wavered. You've expounded on it. You've tried to figure out ways to make it grow and to make it better, but it's been consistent. And you see, that's the true nature of a warrior who's trying, like you always say, to elevate and enlighten your people. I want to thank you, brother. I really want to thank you.
And I want to say those words you said was beautiful and very profound to me. I think that the ancestors was also speaking through to me, so I really appreciate that. I really appreciate it. It means a lot.
Hey, Brother Jay. Brother Jay, you can buy the second edition of the Black People's Matrix. It's out right now. How can he get it?
At www.
Well, I'm glad to know that the second edition, I just hope it's as good as the first edition. And, you know, hey, I'm going to do what I got to do. I mean, even though I don't think I need to buy the second edition, but I do want to support the brother.
Then please
do.
Because
you know the brother works hard.
That's right. So please do. So how can you get it, Brother Franklin?
www.theblackpeoplesmatrix.com. Brother, hold on for a second. Somehow send your address to the brother. Oh, I'm sending you for free.
Gonna send you.
Who send it to me for free?
I'm
gonna
send it to you for free.
Yes, he's gonna do that.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna do, Franklin. Yeah. I'm gonna appreciate that. But can I ask you to do this, brother, for me? Instead of sending it to me, could you give it to a teenager? Could you give it to a young brother or sister who may not have read your book or may not have the information and the access? Could you do that for me? Maybe wrap
your name, brother.
Yeah, please, brother. Please. Because look here, Franklin. You know, you are a man who wants to get the message out to the people. Maybe if you hand that book off to a young person, a young person may read the book and then pass it on. But now, the key thing is this. When you pass it to a young person, please talk to him first to see if he's going to take your book and read it and not take it and throw it in the trash can or something like that. And, you know, that will also help you engage him with a young person. And, you know, it'll just move forward from that point on. But I want to thank you again, Franklin. It's good to hear your voice. And listen, man, keep on doing what you do, because I see you, man, because you always putting something out on blast with Facebook and my name on it. And, you know, every now and then I got to click on it and get a smile on my face knowing that Franklin Jones is on the scene.
That's right. It's on the case.
Every day,
he's always on the case.
Every day I'm doing it. Every day.
That's right.
Have a good one. Put me on mute, Mo.
All right. Oshi. All right. Brother Jay. Yeah.
I appreciate Brother Jay for that.
Yeah.
Yes. There's nothing more important that understanding the monopoly the oppressors have over our minds, you know? Because here's the deal, what we're dealing with, a reality, is although white nations publicly profess equality for all their citizens, they are secretly unrelentingly committed to the preservation of their nation's white dominance. There's also an immense fear of black retribution that exists among those white societies that have been exploiting black African people for centuries. And because they're still exploiting the natural resources of Africans, of Africa, and we're still being mistreated by them, this makes it necessary for them to manipulate our minds.
I want to play something for us right quick. It's not very long. Baba Ativa sent this to me on WhatsApp. And last week, Brother Franklin, I played a piece by this Caucasian name, Howard Nicholas, who was giving a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation. And his mm-hmm. bottom line is why Africa must remain poor. Africa must remain poor so the rich countries and the more advanced countries can maintain their edge and must get Africa's resources at low or no cost. Africa must be prevented from production. They must not produce anything, and we must make them seem that their lot is justified. But here's a piece too that's even deeper, because you know what we're talking about, and is of course Bobby Wright coined the term menticide, and that's what we've been going through. Menticide. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the reality of genocide.
Yes.
Check us out.
I want you to watch this video. Watch this video and see how evil these people are. You will hear this yourself. I just want you watch it.
AIDS, all of the it's, bogeymen for the, could dream up.
Yeah, it's for the purpose of sterilization and population control. There's too many people on the planet we need to get rid of. In the words of Bill Gates, at least 3 billion people need to die. So we'll just start off in Africa. We'll start doing our research there, and we'll eliminate most of the Africans because they're deplorable. They're worthless. They're not part of this world economy. So they have their rights taken away, and they're suppressed, and they're experimented.
And the multilateral agencies and the health and regulatory so-called authorities and agencies appear in the main to have become weaponized and appear, I again use the word appear advisedly, we're not casting judgments here, we're taking depositions, listening to expert testimonies.
Do you hear that? Do you just hear that? 3 billion Africans. And you know it's all about vaccination. You know it's all about to vaccine as many as they can so that they can make sure that all these people share this video. Share this video. This is...
Now, we know there are not 3 billion Africans. There's only about 1.3 or 4 billion. I think our population worldwide puts us around about 1. Maybe almost 2 billion people, with the people on the continent as well as the people throughout the diaspora. You know, a lot of us in Brazil, hundreds of millions of us in Brazil. But the point being is that they've had a plan, and now that our labor is no longer necessary, you know, we're primed to be exterminated. And they're going to do whatever it takes to do just that. In fact, Bill Gates gave a TED Talk, and he talked about vaccines. And he said, vaccines for population control. Vaccines for population control. And I had to turn it back to hear it again, because I'm thinking that vaccines are just like what is being promoted today with the vaccine to make you immune from disease or viruses
and
so forth.
Allow me to pause a second. let me say something, please, because you're there. Some years ago in Kenya, doctors found that Bill Gates' vaccine he was sending for young women was causing them to be sterilized.
Yes.
It was sterilizing them.
Yes.
And it was geared towards girls of certain ages.
Right.
You know, the children's ages, from the time you can bear children. And yeah, they found it out, and the World Organization shut it down. But in Kenya, they have stories about that, finding doctors testing it and finding sterilization. Where they were giving the girls vaccine, they were sterilizing them. And so it's really true. It's and the thing you said about the trade agreements where Africa's only able to trade raw goods and Africans are charged a high tariff tax that makes the stuff they're selling extremely expensive and impractical because they're raw goods. These rules are Western rules. They created those rules so that Africa would never become a superpower, because they need to keep Africa on its knees so they can continue the exploitation of Africa. Because the reality is this: the Western world cannot survive for more than 2 years without Africa's resources. 2 years. It's like if Africans got together and stopped giving anything to the Western world, they would declare war on Africa, because they have to.
Yeah.
They would declare war on Africa.
Well, you know, well, let me say it to you this way, though, frankly. They have already, war has been declared upon us. Almost since war, you know, just like with Chancellor Williams, the destruction of black civilization over 2,000 years. You know, we have been warred upon, except that we don't understand the dynamics of this warring faction that is on us. We don't understand it, but we have been warred upon, and our minds have been destroyed.
An example just came to my head, and I want to share it. I think it can help people understand. Could you imagine you're living in a house, right? And across the street from you, there's another house. And all of your resources, all the power for your house comes from the house across the street. You go there every day, you go across the street, and you take up resources from that house. That house is sustaining yours. To continue going into that other house and taking from them, you have to manipulate their minds. You have to shape public perceptions. For example, you might say, create public perception that you're going into that house every day because the people can't govern themselves. You're going into that house because you're trying to help those people. You create the narrative that benefits your agenda of going in that house, but you continue stealing their exploits. If those people, if you go to the door one day and the people in the house locks the door, you're going to be angry because you need those resources from them. First of all, you create the perception that it is they who need you more by denigrating the people in that house. You educate the people in the house so you have them thinking that you're there for their benefit. But once they close that door, you're angry. So the white society creates narratives that shapes public perception in their favor. Mark Adabi said it best when he said the white man's propaganda has made him master all those who accept it, becomes his slave.
Yeah.
And when we talk about the education, this is what most people don't understand. They quote Carter G. Woodson about the miseducation of the Negro. Most people who quote that have never read the book. And most who read the book doesn't understand that Carter G. Woodson was talking about mental slavery.
Yes.
This is why Carter G. Woodson says, when you can control what a man thinks, you don't have to worry about his actions.
That's right.
When you can convince a man that he's inferior, you don't have to direct him to the back of the room. By nature, he will take himself to the back of the room.
That's right. Because his training has led him so. Exactly. Well, we're gonna take a call right here, Brother Franklin. Okay. 602. Good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie and Brother Franklin.
Brother Marcus. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing great, good brother. Good to hear you, Brother Franklin, back on the scene. Good to hear you, man. I tell you know, because we need the counseling. We need your counseling, brother, because it's like our people getting crazier, you know?
Yes.
I mean, in my country down here in Jamaica,
yes,
brother, the skin bleachers killing themselves left
the skin
and
bleaching.
Right.
Yeah, skin bleaching is...
Skin bleaching, they're shooting each other.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, Brother Marcus, even though some places it has been outlawed, there are some countries, in particularly on the continent, that have outlawed it. And so by outlawing it, you make it a black, quote, black market item. So you can still get it. You can always still get it, surreptitiously, so to speak, undercover, and pay big for it. But it's a serious, serious problem.
It's sickening, brother. It's sickening. About two days ago, 5 people get killed one time. Bah, 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 bah. And when you look at them, they're all bleachers. Everybody is bleaching. So I'm like, so that self-hatred right there.
Yes, it is.
And then they give them a gun. See? So it compounds the problem. So, Brother Franklin, you are so correct. We have to address the mental side, the psychological damage that's being done on a daily basis to the minds of our people, and just be strong and keep on keeping on. You know, Brother Oshie, I'm here listening, You may not hear me call, but I'm here. My ear is to the ground, brothers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. Thank you for listening, man. I appreciate you. All right, Brother Marcus. All right. Yeah.
I want to know, I never actually stopped. I wasn't here, but I was still doing it. Other programs. Mm-hmm. And I'm also on social media, still pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to die doing this.
That's
what I'm here to do.
Yeah, it's your life's work. It's just like this is my life's work. And, the whole thing is we're dedicated to, to helping to put something on the minds of our people, to elevate and raise the consciousness of our people. And not just the consciousness of awareness, the consciousness of knowing that you are an African. And everything that you do should exemplify that. Every move you make. And to be encouraging of other Africans to do the same. That's the whole bottom line,
But the market said something about shooting, and it reminded me of something. A couple months ago in South Africa, the South Africans saw a brother with dreads, and somehow they thought he was a Nigerian, and they killed him.
Simply because he had locks in his hair?
Yeah, he had locks. I guess they thought they said after they was arrested, they said they killed him. They said their plan was to rob and kill him, and they did. They thought he was a Nigerian, and so I've been speaking to a lot of South Africans over there, and they're talking. There is this disdainment for Africans that are coming from the other countries, other parts of Africa, and coming to South Africa.
See, it's like this, though, Mark. It's like this, Brother Franklin. The reality is that the Europeans, they still control South Africa. To me, if you control the military and you control the money, you in control. I don't give a damn how many dark faces you have in high places. You're in control. And that's what's happening in South Africa. And so the South African brothers, the South African brothers and sisters think that these Nigerians that are coming to South Africa, these Ghanaians that are coming to South Africa, and other Africans who are coming to South Africa getting the jobs are their enemy, and they're killing them. As opposed to the cracker who has miseducated them from day one and unprepared them from day one. They ain't doing shit to them. That's the real problem. That's the root of the problem.
See, I just described was a symptom. That's a symptom. Allow me to explain the cause of the symptom.
Yep.
Because when people understand the cause of the symptom, as I was saying, once a mind has been expanded to a greater radius, it never returns back to a smaller size. Because the truth won't allow it. So that's the symptom. They're killing them. But here's the deal. The main media in South Africa are still controlled by the white minorities.
Yes.
Now, so when the white minorities put out stories, the whites are putting out stories that are designed to shift the collective aggression of the oppressed majority black away from themselves and redirect that frustration against the expat Africans, okay? So they have a motive for continuing up putting propaganda to make the black masses feel like they're being disenfranchised by those Africans who are coming over. Now, I'll give an example. It's also happening in America, for example. The poor whites in America are being made to believe
that they're being disenfranchised because of black people. Even though black people have no power to suppress those poor white people, the white ruling elites who control the country are able to shift the collective aggression of the poor whites against us. In that same manner, the media controllers in South Africa are able to shift the collective aggression of the black masses against other black people. They have to do it to protect their dominance. Because as I said earlier, whenever people are oppressed, their collective aggression against the oppressors will continue to grow until retribution becomes inevitable. The only way to prevent this, the swelling of aggression, is to shift the collective aggression away to another source, another direction. So every time the black South African watch the news, you keep seeing these expat Africans, coming from different parts of the region. They say they're taking your jobs. So then when a South African walk into a business and it's owned by a African from another region, in his mind, this confirms the programming. They are being programmed to attack these other Africans because it prevents them from unifying against them. And they did this back in the day for years, centuries. Tribes against other tribes.
Right, it's always divide and conquer.
Tribes against tribes.
Yeah.
South African tribes against South African tribes.
Yeah.
It's divide and conquer.
Yeah.
And until our people recognize divide and conquer. I always say this to my people. When you see a thought is being formulated within your mind, ask yourself, how does me accepting this thought benefit my oppressors? Once you find how it benefits your oppressors, reject that thought.
That's right. Brother, we have a caller here. Caller, unknown caller, a previous brother Paul, is that you?
Absolutely me.
It's brother Paul, man. Franklin Jones, it's brother Paul.
Hey, brother Paul, nice to hear your voice again, my brother. I sent a shout out to you a couple of weeks ago on a British podcast I was doing.
Well, it was last year, and I absolutely heard that.
Yeah.
It was loud and clear, you know. Brother, just listening to brother Jay, I was just waiting for him to make a marriage proposal and pass the ring. It was absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. But brother, I absolutely heard you, and I appreciate that. But let me make a humble request that you try and phone and contact your worldwide audience, especially in the UK, at least once a month.
Okay, yeah.
It's very important that we reach out to each other, you know, because there's a lot of propaganda and a lot of misinformation being absolutely propagated by the mainstream media. It's a boiling point. So, you know, the first stage of this war is propaganda, and this propaganda war is furious. So in order to counter the propaganda, I think you've said this before, brother, is that in order to counter propaganda, you've got to counter it with your own propaganda.
Yeah.
So if we're not talking to each other on an international basis, then this divide and conquer campaign will only intensify. You know, so it's very, very important that we reach out to each other on a national and international basis. It's extremely important.
Yes.
Because we have the technology. And we have the technology. And, you know, only yesterday I was thinking to myself, you know, first and foremost, let me just acknowledge and show my appreciation for the fact that you even take my call. And not just the fact that you even take my call. You know, sometimes we can phone what we feel is a brother or a sister, and they are not, how do I put it? Not all skinfolk are kinfolk. Let me just put it like that. And the kind of reception you get is quite hostile, because they tend to hug the flag and think that the flag is their way out, if you understand what I mean. But, you know, so I appreciate, you know, Brother Ochi taking my call. I appreciate this platform. I appreciate all the hard work you all do. You know, we're not always going to agree on everything. We really won't, because, you know, warriors don't agree on everything. And when warriors don't agree, they just fight. And whoever wins becomes the champion. So at the end of the day, we like to fight and stay strong on the things we do agree on. We do agree on a lot, but just not everything. So, you know, but
well, the bottom line is, you know, brother Paul, the bottom line is that do we agree on African independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty? And we agree on that. There might be different ways to achieve it, but the bottom line is let's work together and find ways to make that happen. That's the bottom line. That's, we must work together. We must develop some functional unity.
Pinnacle. That's absolutely essential that we work together to achieve the overall objective.
Yep.
Even when I disagree with a brother or sister, if I can feel that African spirit in them, I still love them regardless. I love my brothers and sisters who have that African spirit, even when I'm disagreeing with them. I love that.
Well, you know, I know that. We're all passionate about what we do because we mean business and we want to win. We don't want to lose. We're not just saying it for the sake of saying it. We want to win this thing. This is a game, and this is the game of life, and we want to win. So, of course, sometimes our emotions. Let me just say this to the point of argument. You know, I often hear people say, oh, you get too emotional or whatever. But for me, emotion is energy in motion, and if you haven't got energy in motion, then you're flatlining. And if you're flatlining, you're dead.
You're dead.
And I think, to be honest with you, a lot of our adversaries want us to flatline. They want us to keep our mouth shut. They don't want to see our emotion. They don't want to see anything of us. They just want us to be silent, sit in the farm, sit in the corner like Tom Farmer, put our farm in the mouth. But that's not going to happen. So sometimes we're going to demonstrate that emotion. Because we are energy, emotion, and that's the way we are. And that's the way we've always been. And no one's going to stop it. We're going to win. So let me not hold up the line too long. I'm quite enjoying all the
all right, my brother Paul. All right. Brother Sean, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, man. I just want to say to your guest here, I just bought your book on General Principle. I was listening to what you're saying. I looked at the homepage. I'm like, you're talking about what needs to be talked about. I just want to say thank you off top.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Thank you very much. Thank you for your support. Thanks for calling. I greatly appreciate it.
I do have one thing I want to say, like, because you were speaking about, like, programming and stuff. I mean, you're familiar with neuro-linguistic programming, right?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
And so how, like, in media, in mass media, in a lot of the social media, the wording of things, like, how you can use words in their implied homonyms or synonyms or antonyms of words to convey messages subliminally, right? Are you're aware of this,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And so, like, what happens is a lot of times I feel like I say, you're on point on the tip of the spear of, like, how we need to fight, because we got to be able to block the nonsense out of our head and just keep pushing forward and know when media is saying things, what they're trying to lead us to and what they're trying to lead us away from.
Exactly.
Everything being in plain sight, because they're talking, even though media may be trying to talk down to us, they really might be trying to talk away from something that they're doing in the meantime type stuff. They use like different tiers of media, and different media tries to cover different aspects of, you know, awareness of things. You have the, you know, you might have, like, you know, you're liberal or conservative, but on a lot of levels, each of those relative media points are trying to cover aspects, and they'll speak of the broader media, they'll speak of the broader things, and then kind of like, if they're alluding to something that's black, they'll give it that shade. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I feel you 100%, and I can see you totally see it. You totally see it. You're awake. You're right. There's the subliminal program. They say things that conveys other messages, and they keep saying, keep repeating it, and then that message is embedded within our minds, and we don't know where it came from, but we accept that message as being true, a message that benefits our oppressors. You know, so you're absolutely right. And it's really challenging because so many people who don't critically think, who don't question the validity of all information they receive from white sources, who don't study subliminal programming, are the ones who become mentally enslaved, unable to see their mental change. And as you know, mental slavery is the worst form of slavery because it makes them fight against those trying to free their minds. You're right. This is what we're at now, is subliminal programming. And when Brother Paul just called in, he said he has been intensified. Yes, It has been intensified. And the reason why the programming has been intensified over the last several decades is Zbigniew Brzezinski. He's a political science Polish-American. He worked for he's an advisor to several U.S. presidents. He said this is the first time in history, first time in human history, where we Africans have the ability to communicate with each other. Before now, before the internet, the white man had monopoly over information. So he controls how we perceive Africa, how we perceive ourselves. So therefore, it's easy for him to control us. So now that we're communicating in our own dialogue, this forced the white establishment to intensify their propaganda against us. This is why the propaganda is now more intense. It's more intense. Because at first, they just had to maintain what we believe. Now they're fighting against the truth we are learning. That's why they've intensified the propaganda.
You know, Zbigniew Brzezinski was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. And yes. He put out a piece, and it went into the daily newspapers and so forth. I've read
And all state, it was sent to all state departments, a memo.
Yeah.
And they just said, he said, we must keep, go ahead, say it. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. We must make sure that Africa does not unite.
Yes.
Bottom
he
line.
Said, we should make sure that Africans on the continent never unite politically, socially, economically with the Africans throughout the diaspora. Keep them divided.
Yes.
Just what he said.
And see, and that
in our interest to keep us divided.
Right, because then that plays into what I've said earlier about this Caucasian who I'm not sure when the workshop, it was recent. He's saying the same thing. He's saying we must make sure they're staying divided. We must make sure we continue to manipulate them. We must make sure that we control, that we have a control over them, and that we control their resources. They must never.
Here's the result of that control. The sad fact, millions of black people don't know any positive narratives about themselves. You ask them to say something positive, oh, we good dancers. We play basketball good. They don't know any significant positive things. Millions of African Americans, millions of Africans globally are ashamed to say they're African. It's because of that program that Zbigniew spoke of. They found that by turning Africa into a source of shame to the Africans throughout this diaspora, it affects us in ways that benefits our oppressors. When Africans throughout the diaspora see Africa being depicted as terrible backwards, we feel indebted to our enslavers. We say, oh, I'm so glad slavery happened because it took me away from the backwardsness of Africa. So we're being programmed against Africa, and we feel indebted. And this indebtedness is the reason why millions of African-Americans are not demanding their reparations. Because two things. African-Americans, millions believe that we feel indebted because we are grateful for the slavery that happened to our ancestors. We feel that most of the problems in America is caused by us. So we are ashamed to demand reparations. Our thoughts are shaped in ways that benefit the oppressors. And it's never coincidental when the oppressed thinks exactly as the oppressors wants them to. We are being programmed. Our minds are formed, our opinions shaped, our thoughts controlled, our culture steered by white men we've never even heard of.
And see, and that's why we as African people on the continent and throughout the diaspora must come together, must unify, must release the vice grip that the Caucasian, the European, the cracker, whatever, the hunky, I ain't heard that word in a long time, has on our mind. Because not only is our liberation impossible, it is unthinkable. Because what we can't conceive, we cannot achieve. We can't even think in that way. We must, it must begin now. This is not something, you know, I know I'm a member of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, and we're talking about the unification of Africa, the United States of Africa, or United African States. And I visualize that. I feel that. I understand that. And I know it's vitally important that happens. But at this very moment, we are being bombarded 24/7, 365. And it's hard for us to even think about that. It's hard for us to even contemplate that.
And many of us argue against that because we've been trained to do so. You know, so, you know, we are in a very dire situation. We really are. But we go along and we dance. You're right. Yeah. I know. Yeah. When was the last time you heard that word?
Yeah. You know, what I said about most of us don't know any positive narratives about ourselves, I'd like to quickly expound on that. Most of us don't know our great narratives. And keeping us from knowing our greatness is how the white society maintained their dominance. Remember I said they determined during the 1960s that a collective black self-esteem elevated produces more black revolt. So they keep us believing less of ourselves. But I'll tell you, they don't want to kill all black people. They need to save some black people because they need our great brains. That sounds strange, huh? They need our great minds. Now, that would sound strange because when people have been programmed lies throughout centuries, they speak of truth sound like a raving lunatic. They know the great minds of black people. I'll tell you something. Slavery ended in America in 1865. And from 1870 to 1940, African Americans filed 726 patents. Now, think how amazing that is. In that short period of time, these people went from, our ancestors went from being enslaved, uneducated, to going to the patent office and filing 726 files. Today in America, a disproportionately high number of patent inventions are by African Americans. Here's a fact that most of us don't know. Virtually all inventions that revolutionized the world were either invented by a black person or was inspired by an early invention by a black person. So you're not hearing these stuff. If you without black people, we wouldn't have internet because an African, a Nigerian scientist developed a supercomputer that later became the internet. If it wasn't for a black person, we wouldn't have emails because the .com email was invented by African American that allowed people like us to get on the internet, everyone. If it wasn't for black people, we wouldn't have the cell phone. In fact, and if it was for black people, we wouldn't have cars because the first motor was invented by a black person, okay? And also the first car was invented by a black man named C.R. Patterson. He would sell the car for $850. He was forced out of business by Henry Ford. You see, Stevie, history we're taught are lies. Religion is control, media is manipulation, education is indoctrination. The entire system is a lie, and the system, and these narratives that produces these lies, they're from white sources.
Exactly, and they're all distorted
to benefit whites.
Right, and the thing is that because they continue to perpetuate it, and it instills in us a belief there's nothing that we can do.
Yeah,
you know, and that somehow the best for us to do is try our best to reform it, try our best to march.
Yeah, approval.
Yeah, you know, to march and pray and sit in and demonstrate and all that. Man, ain't none of that ain't gonna do a damn thing. The conditions will remain the same.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a scenario that millions of us have experienced. Watch this. You're sitting there watching television, and on the news, you keep seeing these deplorable black people, depictions of black people. You're seeing these deplorable narratives, the deplorable statistics, and you're sitting there watching this, and in your mind, you feel publicly, personally embarrassed. Now, what happens when you've been embarrassed for so long, you said, I need to show, you start wanting to disidentify yourself with your people. And when you get around white people, you say, I have to show white people that we're not all bad. I have to show white people that we're not all crazy. I have to show white people we're not all stupid. We say, I have to show white people that we're not all, but we don't understand that those media images we're seeing, those narratives we're hearing, they're distortions created by white sources that are designed to make us believe that whites are inherently superior. They don't say it directly, but by continuing to give us information, like in a white society, you will never hear negative generalizations in the media made by white people. And you will never hear positive generalizations made by black people. All generalizations about whites are positive, and all generalizations about black people are negative. Social science is doing this and instills a value system into the subconscious minds of Africans globally that makes us more compliant with white dominance. We're being programmed to adore them.
programming to love them. And we have to understand this programming because they're going to keep using it until we understand it and develop counter strategies against it.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate our conversation today, Brother Franklin Jones, my good brother and my friend. We run out of time, a little over.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm
no, that's all right, sorry, man. That is perfectly okay. That lets us know that a lot more needs to be discussed, and I'll be talking with you to get you back on the program real soon, okay?
One love and peace, my brother. Anytime, my brother. One love and peace. You to everyone call in, one love you all. Peace, my brother.
I appreciate it. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Hodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. And come back on Friday. We'll talk about the importance of this month as it relates to our history on Friday. You have a good day. Peace, family.